At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer. This is the podcast where I read word stuff. That's what I do. It's all about the word stuff. And then I tell you about the word stuff. And I tell you a little bit about my life as well, if I have a connection to that word usually. Sometimes we go on tangents, and we just have a whole lot of fun. So it's really, truly the best podcast ever in the history of the world. And we get to learn things, and we are silly, and sometimes we sing little songs. We are currently getting ready for the G's. If you didn't know, how could you not know? You know, you know. And we're talking about the new words that were added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2025. Specifically, we are currently going through the March list. I'm tired. My eyeballs actually feel kind of blurry right now because I got to bed late last night. And the reason was because I went into the city of Chicago, went to the Chicago Theater last night because there was a screening of the new John Candy movie called John Candy, I Like Me. And it was so, so good. And I wouldn't normally go into the city to a big theater to watch a documentary like this, but there was a very fantastic discussion and Q&A afterwards. It was, I think, presented by Ryan Reynolds. He's one of the producers. He's a huge fan of John Candy. Also, they both are Canadian, and so he was there, and there was a moderator who didn't get a chance to talk a lot, and John Candy's son was there, and their very special guest who they brought out, Chicago local Jim Belushi, showed up. And so the movie was great, and then the Q&A went on for a little while, and I was like, I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay for this whole thing. This is pretty great. And the documentary is now available on Prime. It sounds like I'm trying to sell this. They're not paying me. Why aren't they paying me? It is available on Prime already at this point by the time you are hearing this or watching this. And it's very, very good, especially if you like comedy and acting and movies and TV and especially John Candy. Oh, so good. All right, let's talk about some words. The first word is Mexican Indian. Two words. The first letters are capitalized. It is a noun and an adjective, and it is a member of any of the indigenous peoples of Mexico. And seems like there's quite a few. I think we had a word earlier that was the people who lived in like the Baja California area. And then, of course, I mean, I don't know exactly if these people were in Mexico, so apologies for my uneducatedness, but there's the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Incans. I mean, were they all in Mexico or at least similar areas? They might be Mexican Indian. Indian is indigenous. That's where that's that word. All right, next we have Mexican wrestling. Two words, noun. It is a form of professional wrestling originating in Mexico, in which competitors wear distinctive form-fitting masks and use acrobatic techniques. And then there's more, but I think we get enough, and I think a lot of people are aware of this. I know there's the word, is it lucha? Lucha? Lucha libre is popping up. Lucha libre is a form of Mexican professional wrestling. Yeah, this is it. Known for its high-flying acrobatic moves, masked luchadors, which is wrestlers, that's why the word lucha is in there, theatrical performances, and distinct heroes, who are called técnicos, and villains, who are called rudos, like rude. Oh, those villains are so rude. Yeah, I know this is a huge, huge thing in Mexico and other places, obviously, right? I think we got, even in America, there's some fans of this. Lucha Libre. I don't know, where does the word libre, I mean, I think it means free. So are you like free to be a wrestler? Free? Not sure. But there's, of course, that very silly movie with Jack Black called Nacho Libre. And I saw it once, liked it. I haven't seen it since. All right. Next, we have Migra, M-I-G-R-A. I don't know if I am pronouncing that correctly, but Migra, noun. This is, now, interesting. It's chiefly with the word the, with singular or plural agreement, and this is the authorities responsible for monitoring and controlling immigration into the U.S., .. So let's just do a quick little search. So migra, migration, it's short for la migra. It's an informal Spanish term referring to U.S. immigration enforcement agencies, particularly U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, and also the Border Patrol. So the Spanish term, the informal Spanish term for these people who are definitely right now doing the crappiest of crappy things, to put it very mildly, they're just called la migra or migra. Let's see if it officially says, I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, it has to do with migration, so that's why they're using that term. But, this word must be being used a lot in recent times. And of course, I'm still recording this in early October when things are pretty, pretty bad. Just bad for the people who are being taken away, I would say mostly wrongly, and also, or definitely almost exclusively wrongly, and also just treated terribly. Yeah. Okay, so that's migra. Good to know that term. Next we have moggy. It's like foggy, but it's with an M. Adjective. And we are talking about a person here. It means extremely irrational, out of touch with reality, having lost control of one's emotions or behavior. And it says frequently in the phrase, they need more quotes and things here. We're missing some punctuation to help things. Frequently it's used in the phrase to go moggy. He went moggy. He got real irrational and just, they're having an attack of some kind, a moggy attack. I want to know, what's the etymology of this word? Etymology of moggy. I've never heard of this term before. Mid-17th century, a variant of Maggie, a pet form. No, that seems unrelated completely. Let's see. Well, okay, but how? No, you're talking about cats and stuff here. This is not at all what I'm looking for. It seems like it might be British. To go moggy. If you have any information about this, if you are British and you are using this word moggy, not about Margaret, not about cats, none of those things. No, I don't want the cat stuff. Huh, okay. I mean, maybe it's from a cat, or like, that cat's having their crazy times, so they went moggy. Interesting. Moggy. Lost control of your emotions, your behavior, out of touch with reality, irrational. I never go moggy. Next is morto, M-O-R-T-O. Adjective, it means mortified or extremely embarrassed. I guess the other option for some of these words are they from Gen Alpha? Are the kids using these words? Should I text my niece and say, have you gone moggy today? Do you know anybody who's gone moggy? Or also is morto. Who are your morto friends? Mortified, extremely embarrassed. Oh, crap. Yes, I was definitely morto. I was mortified. I can't say the whole word mortified. I just have to say morto. I was so morto when I spilled my whole tray of food in front of the girl I had a crush on in junior high. I'm morto. I just want to die, which is related to the etymology. Next we have, would it be NACO or NACO? N-A-C-O. It's a noun and an adjective. And it is a person, especially a man, considered to be lacking in education, manners, taste, or sophistication. Seems like this would be short for something. What is NACO short for? We had Moggy and Morto and NACO. Nope, don't want the National Association of Countries in the U.S. Not that NACO. How about this one? This is different. This is a Mexican-Spanish word. Ah, but I think this is it. Low class, uncultured, vulgar, uncivilized. Usually associated with lower socioeconomic classes, although it is used across all socioeconomic classes. When associated with middle, upper class income people, it means vulgar, bad taste, and pretentious. So it seems like it's from a Spanish word. And now does it say? It probably says in here somewhere, a NACO. Okay, so I scrolled too far. Yeah, I think that works. Calling somebody, typically a man, a NACO, you don't got education, manners, taste, or sophistication. Well, I have some of those, but I don't have all of those. I don't have sophistication. So I'm partially NACO. I'm mini NACO. Next we have Nahuan, capital N-A-H-U-A-N, noun or adjective. And this is a member of a group of indigenous peoples of southern Mexico and Central America. Also, occasionally, with plural agreement and the word the, as in these people, dot, dot, dot. What, these people are the Nahuan? That's probably how you would say it. So that would be another group of people that would be added to the list of Mexican Indian. They are indigenous. Indigenous people in Mexico and also Central America. Nahuan. A lot of foreign concepts and terms and things being added to this Oxford English Dictionary, which is great. So we can learn more about these other cultures around the world. Good to know these words. Next we have Nasi Lemak. Of course, I do not know how to properly pronounce this word. Nasi Lemak. It's two words, actually. N-A-S-I, second word, L-E-M-A-K. It is a noun, and this is in Southeast Asian cookery. We got more Southeast Asian food words. This is a Malay dish of rice cooked in coconut milk and flavored with pandan leaf, served with various garnishes, such as dot-dot-dot. So let's just do a quick little search so we can give you a little bit more information. Well, this plate looks very delicious, although it does have meat and stuff. A fragrant Malaysian dish of rice cooked in coconut milk with pandan leaf served with a spicy chili paste. Sambal, that sounds good. Fried anchovies, that does not sound so good. Peanuts and sliced cucumber. So, give me a vegan one. I will eat it. It sounds very tasty with those things. Nasi Lemak. And again, if you are Malaysian or aware of this, feel free to call me up and tell me how to properly pronounce it. That is that one. Now we're going to move on to Nueva Trova. Two words. Noun. This is a genre of popular music that developed in Cuba following the Cuban Revolution, 1953 to 1959, combining elements of traditional Cuban folk music with dot-dot-dot, with, I don't know what, new stuff. What's some new stuff? We got traditional Cuban music, but we got some new Cuban music. The kids are coming up in the 50s, I guess, or in the 60s, and they would have been a little bit more adult at that time in the 60s. because they would have had to have knowledge of music and performing music. So, you know, the young kids of that time are like, hey, we got some new music things that you old fogey traditional types might want to take a look at. So they were like, oh, yeah, we like that. We're going to call this Nueva Trova. Next we have, would it be Orale? Now, it doesn't say anything about it being Spanish, Mexican Spanish, but it is an interjection, and it is used to express surprise, awe, etc., like the words, wow, gosh. Orale would be how you would say it in English, but I don't totally trust that is accurate. Maybe it's Orale. This shows an accent on the O. Orale. It's a versatile interjection in Mexico and Central American Spanish that can mean okay, let's go, wow, hurry up, or watch out. Okay, let's go, wow, hurry up, watch out. Depending on the context. And can also be a greeting like, what's up? Wow, you can use this word in so many different ways. It's like shalom or other words that I can't think of at the moment that can be used in lots of different... Aloha, I think you can use that for at least hello and goodbye. It's derived from the word ahora, A-H-O-R-A, which means now, shortened to ora, and given the suffix le, similar to other Spanish expressions like andale, epale. And there are various Mexican restaurants that use this word, orale. Huh, I don't know if I've heard of this one. You can use it in so many ways. That was a great game. Orale. Orale, let's get this done. Who won? You won the lottery? Orale. Orale, don't run into the street. Orale, vato. What's up, man? All right. So many different ways to use that word. Okay, next we have otak otak. It's O-T-A-K twice with a hyphen. This is a noun, and we are talking about a Southeast Asian dish consisting of ground fish or other seafood mixed with spices and coconut milk, wrapped in banana or palm leaves, and cooked by children? No. Cooked by steamed or grilled. That's what it looks like. Smooth, custard-like texture and a unique blend of aromatic herbs like lemongrass and galangal, chili, and turmeric. So that is the otak otak dish. This says it's a fish cake. So it's all this stuff put together to make a fish cake or a paste, kind of. And, you know, I appreciate that a lot of these foods are made with coconut milk. And so other than the meat, they seem to be vegan. So if you just replace the meat with a different kind of thing, a vegan meat, then I could eat it. Thank you. Otak otak. Next we have paint bomb. Two words. Noun. This is a balloon, bag, etc. filled with paint and thrown so as to burst and splatter its contents over the target on impact, usually as part of a protest. ... Well, that seems like the end of a sentence. But yes, I think maybe as a prank of some kind, but I think usually protest. Throw some paint bombs at ICE. I didn't say to do that. That is not my recommendation, but maybe some people are doing that. I believe there's that trailer for that movie, which I don't know if it's out yet by the time you're hearing this. Roof Man looks like a fun movie. Why did I put my phone by the recorder, to make those crackly sounds? There is a sort of a paint bomb situation in the trailer. I would like to see that movie. It looks fun. Next we have paint bomb again, two words with a hyphen. This is the transitive verb, and this is to throw a paint bomb at a person or a thing, to attack with paint bombs, especially as part of a protest or public demonstration. Also, ... I think we get the picture. Paint bombing with a paint bomb. Oh, and here we go. Here's paint bombing. Two words. Noun. It is the action of throwing a paint bomb or paint bombs at someone or something, especially as a form of protest. And also an instance of this is a paint bombing. So, yep, lots of different ways to use these words. And protest. I think we are seeing a lot more protests. We're needing a lot more protests. And, you know, I think a paint bomb is a pretty non-violent way to go about that. I think the other side would probably argue that it's violent, but it is not. A paint bomb is very not painful, I would think. You know, if you're putting it in a balloon or a bag, that's not hard. There's no sharp edges. And it's just paint. It's irritating, but that's sort of the point. I think that would definitely be considered nonviolent. Sitting down quietly would be the most nonviolent, but sometimes you just want people to have paint on them. Next is Pan Haggerty. Two words. Pan Haggerty. Noun. This is a dish. Doesn't say where it's from. It is a dish traditionally consisting of cheese, onions, and thinly sliced potatoes arranged in alternating layers, usually cooked slowly in a frying pan. Wow. Yeah, that does sound tasty. I mean, not healthy, but sure sounds like, I was going to say, American indulgence, but this looks like this is Irish, actually. It is a traditional rustic dish from the northeast of England, particularly Northumberland. Further down, it did say Irish, so maybe they got their own version. Oh, yeah. Vegetarian comfort food made with thinly sliced potatoes, onions, and cheese, layered, cooked slowly. I mean, I want this. How can you not want this? Historically, a cheap and filling meal for coal miners and working class families in the region. Its name is believed to come from the French word, I don't know how to pronounce it, haggis, H-A-C-H-I-S, meaning chopped. So the things are chopped and then you cook them. So you layer them. What do? A layer of potatoes, layer of onions, layer of cheese, potatoes, onions, cheese, potatoes, onions, cheese, whatever order you want. I don't know what you want. You add more or less of what you like. Let's see, sometimes described as a British version of potato gratin. I could see that. But there's no cream in it. Let's see, it started on a stovetop, then finished under a grill or in the oven to get the top golden and bubbling. Oh my God, you're making me hungry. I want Pan Haggerty. I've never heard of it. Next is, oh, wow, do you say this? Panacalty? Panacalty? P-A-N-A-C-K-E-L-T-Y. I just want to say panacalty, because that seems fun. Noun. It is a dish traditionally consisting of meat, typically bacon or corned beef, onions, thinly sliced potatoes, and stock, usually baked in a casserole, Probably a casserole dish. But, of course, now, because we looked up the other one, we got to look up now. Panacalty? Panacalcapacatal. Let's see. Slow-cooked casserole. Also, England, northeast of England. A frugal, hearty meal. Yep, very similar to the Pan Haggerty. And maybe because it's sort of similar but different, the name is also similar but different. Pan Haggerty, Panacalty. We got some similar things going on. But this one has meat. It's got the stock in there. It's a little bit more involved than the Pan Haggerty. Ah, here, variations. Pan Haggerty, yep. We also got another variation, Pan Aggie. That is a version found around the Humber or Umber estuary. It features layers of bacon, corned beef, and onions topped with sliced and mashed potatoes. Sliced or mashed potatoes. Can't have both. Can't have both sliced and mashed potatoes. You can only do one or the other. This is not that free. Also, Tatey Pot. Another common nickname for the dish in the Northeast. A Tatey Pot. Well, that one's much easier to say. I like that one. All right. Next is poppy. Not the plant. This is spelled P-A-P-I, poppy, noun. One's partner or lover, typically used as a form of address or term of endearment. Also, sometimes, as a familiar form of address for any man, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, you know, I've heard, I mean, typically, I guess it would be typically the man who is called Poppy, but I guess that's not always the case. You could call whoever you want Poppy, but more often, oh, I think I read this wrong. It does say one's male partner or lover. I don't know what I said or what I thought, but that's what it is. That's what it says. Male, you know, it comes from, you know, dad, probably, I would think, which, you know, is weird, but also in English, we have similar words. People use it in a very similar way, similar types of words. So, yeah, not entirely uncommon. Next, we have para-athlete. Para, P-A-R-A, hyphen, athlete. Noun. This is a physically disabled athlete, but also now, especially a competitor in the Paralympic Games. And, I mean, what they're doing is pretty unreal, pretty amazing. They are, I would say, no less talented than the people who are not physically disabled. And this could be a whole variety of ways. I think, you know, the Paralympic Games doesn't get enough play, enough press on TV, but I think that would be way more fun to watch, actually. You know, it could be anything from blind. You know, there's blind runners. Like, how are you doing this? A lot of training. People missing limbs. That's a pretty common one. Whatever it is, they're physically disabled in some way. All right, next we have pareo, P-E-R-R-E-O. It is a noun, and it is a type of dance originating and popular in Puerto Rico and usually performed to reggaeton music, typically characterized by a female dancer, dot, dot, dot. Well, let's just do a little extra looking on pareo. Ooh, this says, it is a sexually suggestive dance and style of party music, both the music and the dance. It is associated with reggaeton that originated in Puerto Rico in the late 1980s. Let's see. Oh, derived from the Spanish word perro, which means dog. The dance involves rhythmic hip and pelvic movements. I'm doing a little bit of my hip and pelvic movements as I'm sitting on a chair. That can be performed solo or in pairs, often characterized by a female dancer gyrating her rear against the crotch of a male dancer. So that's what you've got to look forward to if you're going to do some pareo dancing. Let's see. While seen as a sensual and sometimes provocative form of expression, pareo has also been used as a tool for female empowerment, as highlighted by artists like Ivy Queen and in the song Yo Pareo Sola by Bad Bunny. Well, I was not aware of this, but I do very much enjoy that this is a tool for female empowerment. Like, hey, I got the control in this situation, and I think that is very good. Okay. We got one more for this episode. We got pincha. Is that how you say it? Pinche? Pinche? P-I-N-C-H-E. It is an adjective. It is coarse slang. So sorry to your ears when you heard me say that, if this bothers you. It is derogatory and potentially offensive. Oh, it gets better. So, this is, I mean, we're just going to say it because, I mean, I haven't read it, but, you know, slang, derogatory, offensive, not good things. It is among Hispanic Americans or in Mexican contexts, and we're talking about a person. Objectionable, despicable, worthless. If somebody calls you pinche, or some form of that pronunciation, they're saying that you are objectionable, they object to you in some way, you are despicable, maybe you are Gru from Despicable Me, and you are worthless. You shouldn't be on this planet, is what they're saying. also frequently and earliest as an blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. Don't know the rest of that sentence, but I think we probably got the main idea here. The translation translates it to lousy. Yep. Okay, yep, I definitely heard it. Never really knew the exact translation of it, but you sort of get the idea, depending on the context. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. I think we had some very fine words. We got some food words. We got some sort of slangy words. And I think you learned something. I definitely think you did. If you learned something very specific that you can use in your day-to-day, you can contact me, let me know. Or if you learned something that you're like, this is fantastic. I need this as part of my life. Or, I was not aware of that. Let me know. Let me know if you learned something. Because I sure did. I didn't know about any of these. What's English? Moggy. Anyway, I'm just looking back at the words. Okay, that's going to be the end of this episode. Thank you very much for checking it out. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.